Diaries of a Dyke.
I'm actually really excited about this one to have you on, P, because I wanted to get you on the podcast from day one, but it was really interesting. I don't know if you saw, I put a thing out to our listeners and I was like, who do you want to see on the podcast? And your name was a hot topic.
Yeah, I saw your post. I was like, well, that's a little bit interesting. I didn't realize how many people knew, but yeah. I should have known. Yeah. I kind of don't hide it exactly. So it's not like it's a secret, but yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm glad they want to know.
Yeah, you have a lot of fans. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on Doad. Porsche Women, everybody. And I'll let you explain who you are for everyone that doesn't know you. I'm pretty sure everyone that's listening is like, yes, Porsche Woodman. But in your own words, explain to everybody, you know, like what you do, who you are, what you're about, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yep, Porsche Woodman. Born and raised up in Kaikohe. Moved to Auckland when I was, you know, young. Pretty much became an Auckland girl. Went through all the schools up there. Manamit Grammar, Yo, Maunga.
Eggs.
And then with rugby, we've just moved down to Tauranga, and this is my home now, my second home, and I love it. I'm absolutely grateful because it's given me a life away from mum and dad, taught me how to grow up. I moved in for the first time when I moved out of home was with Kelly Brazier, and so pretty much she taught me everything without intentionally teaching me. But yeah, so moving down to Tauranga, it's taught me to grow up and figure out how to do things on my own. My partner moved in with me, what was it, about 4 years ago, and it's been good so far. You know, we both play rugby. She plays with the 15-a-side team, I'm with the 7s team. It's cool because we kind of have the same program, but not, and it's kind of opposites, but we kind of work together about it, so it's pretty cool. Outside of rugby, because it's my job, I love to just hang out with my whānau. I live with my brother and his partner and their two boys, and I have a daughter as well, our 7-year-old daughter. And I just love being home with them, taking them out to the beach, just hanging out. You know, I can be as rough as I like with the kids because they love being thrown around and chucked around and jumping on auntie's shoulders and backs and climbing all over me. So that's probably my hobby, I guess, outside of rugby. But yeah, that's pretty much me. Rugby and whānau is big to me.
That's cool. And I want to say, because you said that you moved down to Tauranga. Oh, sorry. Wait, does it up or down? You moved down to Tauranga. Yeah, from north. Yeah. You moved down. And so you did that for rugby, right? Because you're in the Black Fern Sevens and that's where they're based. A lot of people don't know that. They don't know that they're based in Tauranga in the Mount.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So we had to move down here in 2018 was when it became compulsory. Mm-hmm. But I moved down in 2014. Was it 2014 or 15? Purely because I was 20, 21, needed to get out of home. The program was kind of moving towards Tauranga, the coach, the trainer, physio, everyone was here. And a lot of the girls from smaller regions like Ruby, Sarah, Kelly, all moved to Tauranga to be around the coaches and trainers. And I thought, why not? Why not now? I didn't have anything at home in Auckland that I needed to stay for, apart from whānau, and they'll always be there. So yeah, moved to Tauranga for rugby.
Not a bloody bad place to live either, is it?
Oh, heck no, not with all the beaches. I'm a beach girl and would love to just... Yeah, being by the beach is probably the best thing ever.
So have you always wanted to do rugby? Was that always the dream, like since you were a little girl?
Dad played rugby for a long time. And just being in and around him playing rugby, whānau, cousins, brothers, everyone playing rugby, I thought it'd be cool. But it wasn't a career pathway for me back in the day. And okay. Sports is probably my only thing that I've got going at the moment. So I thought I had to find a sport that I was going to get make a living out of. And at the time, it was netball. You know, growing up through high school, was netball. Wanted to be a Silver Fern so bad. Was knocking on that door in 2012, really close. But then rugby was introduced to the Olympics. And I thought, why not? I'll have a crack at it, see how far I go, see if I love it. And I have, and I've stuck at it. And rugby's kind of been the dream. I think ultimately, if I'd represented New Zealand in any sport, it would have been cool. But because rugby's in the blood, I looked up to Jonah Lomu, wanted to be the female version of Jonah Lomu. I thought, well, you know, it's in the genes, it's in New Zealand blood anyway, so why not give it a crack?
Do you find that because, you know how netball was the dream, right, when you were like younger, is that because it's kind of like, you know, when girls are in school, they're like, oh yeah, you play rugby and the girls play netball and the boys play rugby? Do you think it's because of that?
Completely, I reckon. Yeah. when I went to high school, my auntie was the head of Mags, head of women, head of the girls there, and she had just come from Auckland Girls Grammar. And she said to me in my interview, I hope you're not one of those girls that play rugby, because we don't have rugby here, purely because it's not a girl thing, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Slowly but surely. It's so funny. The thing I love about you is that you're like a badass player. Yeah, I'm going to say you're a badass rugby player, but you're like the most genuine, nice, soft-speaking person in real life. I wonder if people like, I reckon people notice that, like, do they come up to you and they're just like, hi, Portia Woodman. And really you're like, hi, darling. How's it going? But that's like all of you girls though. All you seven girls.
Because we just, I don't think we all realize the impact we have on other people's lives. And so we just see each other as, you know, I'm just Porsche. And so when a little girl comes up to you crying, you're like, why are you crying over me?
I want to go back to the netball real quick, because you made it to Mystics, didn't you?
Yeah.
You made it to that level. So you got there and you were at the Mystics, and then you were like, nah, you know what? I actually want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, so I had been around the Mystics for a few years. I was training partner for 2 years before that, 2010, 2011. Yeah. 2012, I got the full contract, and it was a dream, without a doubt. Yeah. Within that year, I was also part of the emerging talent. So they're the squad just below the Silver Ferns. They kind of usually get pulled in if you make, you know, you start getting growing a bit. Mm-hmm. So I was in that team as well. And yeah, Mystics was a dream, being in the emerging talent, because then I got to train alongside Laura Langman, Maria, Temapata, like they were all there. So it was a dream. And then towards the end of the year, I wasn't getting played, but that's expected. I was my first time in the Mystics. I wasn't really going to play much game, but I think what I also missed in the Mystics was I couldn't play the way I wanted to play. They needed me to be this one player, but I wasn't that, and I didn't see how I could be something I'm not. So I started to kind of really feel upset about it, really kind of hated netball, resented the whole thing, because I wasn't able to play the way I wanted to play. And then towards the end of it, the Olympics came around, and then I took that opportunity, and I've never kind of looked back. But I wouldn't be the player I am today, or the person I am, if it wasn't for netball as well.
Yeah.
So I don't ever think, oh, good riddance, I'm done with that, because I wouldn't be who I am without it. Within the Mystics, I was a not starting player, learning how to be the bench, right? And so coming into sevens, I've now become one of the starting players, and I still have that understanding of what it's like to be on the bench. So I'm extremely grateful for what I went through with that. But now it's just led me on a different path as well.
Well, everything happens for a reason, you know, and you go through that. I feel like everything, no matter if it's a different sport or what, it's teaching you different things for the future. While we're on the Olympics, I'm not going to be able to ask many guests this, but what was it like going to the Olympics?
It was unreal. Even before we even got there, to say that we were going to the Olympics was insane. We're in Florida for the week before and getting absolutely thrashed. You know, it was hot. We're training in this really a wicked facility in Florida. And just being a part of that was crazy cool. And then once we got to the village, we got welcomed with the Olympic athletes there. We got given our Olympic taonga. And we were given like free rein over the next couple of days to just explore the village. You know, you had the towers, you had the food court, you had the casual eating areas, like everything was just insane. You know, seeing players, like we had the Serena, or the Williams sisters, they were in the food court. I didn't recognize them until everyone started looking at them, and they kind of walked past me, and I was like, all I noticed, no, without a doubt, was their booty, because their booty was huge. Like my eyes too, so all I saw was beauty, and then realized, oh damn, it's this Williams sister. Like, it was insane.
Crazy.
Yeah,
that's just like a whole other world, hey.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the professional athletes, you know, like the Williams sisters, the Michael Phelps, because these amateurs like us, same places them, completely tripping over to see them, and they're just like, I'm here to do a job, I've got things to do, I've worked 4 years for this. And I just, like, they were pretty good about it.
Yeah.
If you think about them, you know, they've put their whole life towards this 4 year cycle, but they were pretty good about it.
Yeah. But I feel like you guys do as well, you know, in a sense. You all like live and breathe rugby. So that 4 years, yeah, getting to that, to that place where you are at the Olympics representing your country, you know, you're in the village, you're in the freaking Olympic village. Like, not a lot of people get to say that. So then you get to Olympics and you win silver, like, you know, it's, yeah, a freaking medal,
yeah,
and you're on that podium. Yeah. Like, what's that feeling like when they put that silver medal on and you're like, man, I've got an Olympic medal?
Yeah, it was a bit of mixed emotion.
Yeah.
I was heartbroken because of that, of feeling like I'd lost the game. But now looking back, like you say, we won a silver medal.
Yeah.
Not many people get to go to the Olympics, and when they do go to the Olympics, not many people get to win a medal, let alone a silver medal.
Yeah,
and that was something that I really had to kind of appreciate, because who in the world goes to the Olympics?
Yeah, exactly.
Māori girl from, whoever gets to go to the Olympics, you know? And like you said, we represent our whānau. I'm big on whānau, and I had about 7 or 8 whānau that were there, and to have them follow me around this crazy, on this crazy journey, was huge. And then from, you know, we went from Rio to Comm Games, that group doubled again. We had 25 people in Comm Games. So it's just, playing to represent your whānau and your country is huge.
Yeah. What was your feelings like towards the postponement of the Olympics this year to next year? How'd you feel about that?
To be honest, I wasn't too fazed. I felt like I was on track with my injuries. And if it was to happen this year, I was, I'm ready for it. But now, with a year later, it gives me more time to kind of get better than what I was going to be or what I was before. But I'm happy. It means I can stick at the game a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's a really great way to look at it. I'm going to ask you the question, obviously, because it's the most asked question that people want to know. How are you going with your injury?
Yeah, the injuries are going well. Hamstring's stronger. The biggest problem that I've had is the Achilles injury. My calf strength hasn't been able to come back as well, but I'm good. I'm looking good. So I did a bronco test earlier on in this lockdown, yeah, and I managed to get a time, which meant that I could get back into team trainings.
Ooh.
So I was ecstatic to just be able to hit that target.
Yeah.
But then I needed to be able to go to training,
yeah,
and into the team, and there's no team.
You girls, like, I honestly, you are the most passionate girls ever. Like, you've got bloody rugby fields in your backyards. You're all sitting, you're training up and sending it to each other. It's super cute. Like, you are the most passionate people that I know about your job. So I know how you'd feel. You'll be like, you know, okay, I'm good to go. Shit, I got no one to train with. But does it help with your partner Renee? Does it, because she's in the 15s, right? Does that help with you two both playing rugby? Like, do you train with each other? Do you upskill with each other?
So she also, she's coming back from an injury as well. So she had meniscus clean up on her knee. And so that's, you know, it takes about 8-12 weeks to kind of come back properly from it. So she's well on her way. But it's cool because I've been through a process of rehabbing as well. So I know how she's feeling. She knows what it's like to be able to, like, you know, you're grinding away all by yourself, but then she's there for me as well. It's really cool. We're really lucky. We have this relationship where we both know what each other are going through.
Yeah.
Know when to give space, and know when to kind of be there and pat each other on the back or run next to each other.
Yeah. Oh, cute. That's cute.
If I can step her, and then I can step anyone, because
a little bit of competition. I love that. How was your mental through your injury?
I think I was pretty good, to be honest. My biggest thing that I probably would change next time was not to lose contact with my friends.
Okay.
I just kind of was like, not intentionally, but I was just like, I've got to do my rehab. You're in your own zone. I've got to do my thing. I've got targets to kind of hit. So I'm just going to do that. But I just forgot, not forgot, but just didn't include to didn't decide to have time with them.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to figure, I think that was my biggest work on. The injury wasn't a problem. It wasn't like I was dwelling on it or all the things that I had, all the things that I was missing out on. Like, without a doubt, when the girls played for the first time after I was injured, I cried. That was Dubai.
That's been an athlete and competitive, right? And you're just like, I want to be on the field. I want to help. I want to run. I want to play.
I'm not the only one that cries when they miss out on that first one. So that was purely because, damn, I'm missing out on the tournament again. But injury-wise, I think it was pretty good. You know, every 2 to 3 weeks, I'd catch up with a physio, see how I'm tracking, and then I could progress on. And it was pretty cool because it was like, oh, yeah, you can take your moon boot off now. yeah, you can start walking without your moon boot on now. Now you can start calf raising. So it was just like really cool to tick off these little targets. Yeah. And that was the early stages. So that was really easy to kind of see the silver lining, obviously. But towards the end, it's kind of got to the point where I'm not quite completely come back yet. And I'm not injured so that I can't do anything. It's like this little limbo area.
Yeah,
this part is probably the most annoying part. Yeah, like I said, I'm not 100%. And I just want to be, that 100%, because then I can get back and play. And I think that's towards this part, I've kind of struggled a little bit more because I've gotten to be, I've separated away from the team so much that I'm like, well, do I even want to be back in the team? Do I want to play again? Do I love it? If I watch rugby, am I missing it? Like, I had to really kind of think about it and talk with our mental skills coach. And he's like, it's normal. It's normal to feel. Because you've had such a big break and you've got into the rhythm of just rehabbing and, you know, not playing before, not playing in a while. So it's normal to kind of feel like you don't want to do it again. Yeah. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I thought I just lost the fire for it.
That's called overthinking, I think.
Which completely.
Do. Yeah. It's funny, we have those days, eh? And it's like, oh God, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And then you wake up and you're like, oh no, it's all good. That was just having one of those days.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. But I think now, just knowing that I want to be on that field. I want to feel that burn on my chest and my name on my back and line up with the girls and run out onto that field again. Yeah, without a doubt. I can't wait to get back. And I think that's my biggest fire within. I want to be back there.
You will be back there. We're manifesting it. And I know there's a lot of people that are waiting for it as well. But let's go back to Renee real quick. So how long have you two been together for?
I think about 8 years. It was a little bit grey area at the start. So we kind of like had to make up our start date.
Oh, okay. That's like a typical lesbian relationship. I was just going to say, because we were talking about it and you said that you were surprised that a lot of people knew about your sexuality and your relationship. Why is that, do you think? Is it just because you don't really talk about it that much or portray it?
I just don't think people, I didn't think people would notice. I don't know. Yeah, well, it's not like I hide it. I post about her. I talk about her a lot. But I just didn't think people would notice. I don't know. And to me, I think it's normal, obviously, but it's not.
Interesting. You know people, even when you think it or not, people are so interested in relationship status. Like, you realize, you're like, oh, no one cares about my relationship, but oh man, they get so involved. I Googled you yesterday and I was like, oh, I wonder what it comes up with. The top three things were, is Portia Woodman married? Is Portia Woodman single? Who is Portia Woodman's partner?
I was like,
oh, yeah, thank you. They care.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the LGBT community as well, a lot of them care because a lot of people DM me and asked about you. So I know they'll be frothing at the fact that you're on this. So we'll touch on your sexuality real quick. Have you always known that you've liked girls?
No, not really. I'm an open person. So it wasn't necessarily like I like this and I like that or I like this.
Hi.
Who's that?
I'm in a meeting. Oh my God.
We'll touch on you soon. Oh, the joy of having kids, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Nosy ones. Nah. I didn't always like girls. I think it was just, I didn't really know many lesbians. I think the only person I knew growing up was my cousin, and I didn't really talk to her, we weren't living in the same area, so I wasn't really in touch with her much.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came to rugby that I met a lot more. And it kind of was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. Who else is? Not that I needed to know, but just wanted to know. And when I met Renee, I thought she was the funniest person ever. I honestly thought, I just cracked up every time. I couldn't believe that she had just had a baby and was post, like 8 weeks post having baby, and she was back into training, and she was like crazy funny. She had this whack, hard worker, like put it all out there on the field. And there was this one time we were heading off to Amsterdam in 2013, and I just thought she was so funny. I introduced her to my mum, or I introduced my mum to her, because I was just like, Mum, this is Renee, this is who I'm talking about. All this time, she's just absolutely hilarious. And then Mum was like, okay, that's weird. But
were you just friends at this point? Yeah.
We're just friends, but I just thought she was so funny.
She is. I'll give her that. She's hilarious.
Yeah. I probably should give her that more, but
oh, she'll be pressing the record button on this screen recording. That's right, Renee. I got you. I'll send you a highlight.
Just repeat.
Yeah. You'll hear it at night, like repeating, like, oh, I should give her that more. She is funny. Oh, no, because she's DJing, eh? Renee's a bit of a DJ. She'll incorporate that into her songs. You wait for it. It'll be like her tag. okay, cool. So you introduced her to her mom, and what happened? And to your mom, and what happened?
Oh, it was just, you know, because we were just friends, she was just like, oh, kia ora, Renee, where are you from? How are you going? Da, 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 da. Like, it just was, like, real casual. And then it was, like, at that tournament is when we kind of hooked up.
Yeah, because what happens with that? Like, you're on tournament, and it's, like, professional time, right? But you share rooms, right?
Like, yeah, and I wasn't really sure, but we had finished the tournament, we won, and we had this big old party with like the rest of the tournament, with the rest of the team. To this day, I can remember little bits, because I got sent to my room, and then I think I fell asleep, and then they come running in with KFC, and then that part's a little bit blurry, because it was like her, my cousin, and my roomie, and myself, all in this room, and I can remember falling off the bed, and she's down on the floor, and I think I kiss her, and then I can't remember what happened. And then wake up in the morning, and we're holding hands in the bed. Like, I don't think anything happened, but I think we're just holding hands in bed, and I was just like, what?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what is the rest history? What happened?
And then,
the gray area you were talking about before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're kind of like hanging out, and we weren't sure what was happening, what was going on. I kind of had a boyfriend at the time.
Oh, P. Oh, God. Nah, oi, been there, done that. But it's like, it's so bad, because you're like, what happened? Like, you know, when it happens, you're like, was it for real? Was it just like, was I mucking around? Like, you're just kind of trialing things. And then you're like, oh shit, I actually like this girl more. And you start getting feelings and stuff. Is that what
yeah. It was just cool, because, like, obviously being a girl, you kind of, you know how each other kind of function, and how you think and how you feel and what you kind of expect from them and what they would expect from you. So it was kind of like real easy, but then really different.
Yeah.
Really different from being with a boy. Yeah.
Okay, so you got together when you were 21 with Renee, and you're still together to this day, right? So you've been together for a while.
Yeah. Been a while now. And I think last time I was in a relationship, I was in for about 5 years, and that kind of, you know, was whatever. I was really young then. So yeah, going on 8 years or seven years.
And you're engaged, right?
Yes, we are.
Are you waiting till, is the Olympics going to put it on hold for a little bit?
Yeah, well, originally, well, we did plan to have it this year, and then this whole craziness happened. Mm. So then we moved it to next year. And now the Olympics are next year as well. Mm. So yeah, we're hoping to get married next year.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how did your parents take you in your sexuality? How did that go?
Yeah, so growing up, I always kind of mucked around and said, oh, stuff boys, I'm going to go be, going to jump the fence. And Mum was like, no, you're not. You bloody better not. And I was just like, whoa. Yeah. I thought she was playing. Like, I was like, what is your deal? You don't really, you know, you're not Christian, or you don't have a belief that kind of contradicts it. I didn't think she was that old school, that she would care. Yeah. But when she found out, she kind of threatened to kick me out of the house.
Oh, didn't talk
to me for a week. The only reason we started talking again was because I was doing a speech at her school, and she kind of had to tell me when and where and what to talk about and all this sort of stuff. So faked it on that day. And then we kind of just slowly talked again, but never about me and Renee. Okay. Never. Wow. So that was brutal. That was hard. My dad knew. My dad knew before my mum, because I knew he'd be cool. He doesn't. Not cool. He's more understanding, I think.
Okay.
He doesn't really get fazed about that sort of stuff. Yeah.
He's just like, if you're happy, you're happy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's his niece that's the other lesbian in our whānau as well. So okay. I think it's their whānau is a little bit more understanding, whereas my mum's whānau, they're very strict, brutal, old school. You know, they don't have the beliefs that say you can't. It's just their own beliefs. Or their understanding is boy and girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I told Dad earlier, and he was like, well, you need to tell Mom. How are you going to tell Mom? I was like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. Yeah. And then she accidentally found out because there was a photo of me and Renee kissing on my phone.
Always.
And she was looking at one photo and swiped too far.
Oh.
I was like, why did you? Yeah. So possibly the worst way of her finding out. But it just kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and had to be done with it because I wasn't sure how I was going to tell her. And, yeah, I guess it was out there. It was fine. It was good. I could deal with the silent treatment for a little bit. And then we're going up north to watch my younger brother play rugby. And it was just me and her because my brother and dad had already gone up earlier. And it was just me and her. And that whole time, this was probably a couple months later, like since she found out, yeah. We kind of been talking, but never really talked about anything else. It was real kind of surface talk. How are you going? What's next? What's happening? Yeah. And so in this car ride, we're going to be driving for about 2.5-3 hours. And I was just, okay, I need to talk to you. This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment I'm choosing between my mum and this girl that I feel like I love. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair because I have to split the times, or I feel like I can't talk to you about it. I can't be real with you. And it's hurting. And it's hurting both of us, because I know you hate it as well. We're so tight. We told each other everything. So felt like I was losing my best friend, and it was a big, that was really hard, not having my mum there. But I felt as soon as I told her how I was feeling, she kind of was like, yeah, okay, I need to just at least try. And she did.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that she just tried in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it showed that she knows it means a lot to me. And I wouldn't do it unless it meant a lot, because I'm pretty much putting my mum and myself and my mum's relationship on the line and just saying, I can't pick anymore. I can't choose between the two of you. I don't want to choose. So please just help me. And I think she understood that. And from that point on, she's been super cool. You know, she's welcomed Renee into the whānau, and you know, 7 years later, you bloody hope that they're back on good terms now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they are. So, you know, Mum and Renee will go for a walk around the mount when they're here, and they've both got nothing to do.
Yeah.
But that time was really brutal, really hard. And Renee's whānau too, they're the same, wasn't as supportive, but there was more of a belief that they have. And I understand that. I completely understand it. That's their belief. It was just hard for both of us because it felt like the world was against us. And then also within the rugby world, you know, we were told that we shouldn't be because we're teammates, and it's not right to be within the team and having this, and certain people just kind of made it feel like it's not good. It's not going to work. How is it going to work within the team? You know, what happens if you break up and it's really ugly? Is it going to be the same thing? So it just felt like everyone was against us.
Yeah.
And so many times she just wasn't, I can't deal. I can't do this. I can't disappoint my family. You know, that's it. And I was like, nah, come on. I love you. I'm not for giving up this easy. If they love us, they will deal with it. They will love us no matter what. And as soon as your whānau know what I'm like and know how supportive I am of you and how much I love our baby and how much I'm going to give everything to use, you know, just to make you mine, my whānau, then they'll like me too. And once they get to know me as a person, and same with you, you know, same with her, as soon as my whānau found out how funny she is, how cheeky she is, and what all her talents that she can do, they'll love her too. So it took about, it took a couple years. I would say it took about 3 years before both our whānau were okay with it.
It took them that long to see that she was more than just a woman. You know, she could give all these qualities and make you happy. Yeah. And it didn't actually matter that she wasn't a man. Did your family have any kind of, you know, were they kind of like, oh, you haven't any babies yet, Portia? How's that going to go? Like, how are we going to have grandchildren?
Yeah, it's probably just me talking about it because I'm 28. Rugby career is probably not going to last much longer than 35, hopefully. But I want to put a baby in there. And, you know, after Olympics or after this next couple of years, I want to have a baby. And I was talking to mum and dad about it. And they were just like, but how? I was like, well, we can get a donor. And they're like, but for them, you have to have, you know, a pepeha, you know, being Māori, you have to know where you're from. And your genealogy is so important. Otherwise, how do you know who you are? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for them, they don't understand that you can't just have one side because there's this whole other side to them. And how do you understand that? And I was like, well, actually, it's no different to a heterosexual couple. They still, you know, if the husband's shooting blanks, they still might have to get a donor. So what's the difference? You know, it happens in any relationship. I understand your you know, their concerns that we're not going to have a full genealogy and full whakapapa, but they still have mine. They're still going to have mine. Then everyone else that comes from that. And if we wanted to, you know, we could decide whether we learn about the other half, but my biggest thing is it's no different in any other relationship. You can go with a donor or you can have it the natural way and you still might not know things, you know? So my biggest thing to them was like, don't worry about mokos. You're going to get mokos. You're going to get heaps of them without a doubt. You're going to have your babies, your grandbabies. It's just going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be the way that you guys had them and it's not going to be the way you expected it of me, but it's going to happen. And you're going to love them no matter what because they're mine. So,
and they will. They will. It's exactly how they, like, you know, the first with your sexuality. They're like, oh, God. And now they're like, oh, we love you, Renee. You know, it's a shock because I feel like it's something different, especially if they're quite old school. Like I did my last episode was of my friends and they're a lesbian couple and they've just had a baby. And they went through like a fertility clinic. Can't even speak. It was amazing the journey they went on, and like literally what they did is they go into the clinic and they give a book and they're like, oh, we would prefer green eyes, blonde hair, blah blah blah, and they give you this profile and then they just obviously you pay money and you sign some things and they give sperm and they have a baby and you know it's their baby and they love her like crazy. So there's so many ways you can do it these days. Like so many, you don't, you need sperm, but you don't need a man to have a baby.
No, exactly. We've had friends that have done it just at home and it's worked. They've got a baby out of it. So, you know, it's not impossible.
It's not. It's really, really not. So do you want to carry? Is it something? Because Renee's already got, what's your child's name?
Kaya.
Kaya. Oh, she's cute. Kaya. Super good on TikTok too. What the heck?
So good. She's like 7 going on 17, that girl, like seriously. Yeah. Just trying to hold her back just to, like, you know, you're our baby still.
Yeah.
Be a baby.
Yeah.
Because you've got plenty of time to grow up and be a teenager.
I love it. I love it how you call her your baby as well. Because how old was she when you and Renee met? Really young, right?
Yeah. Well, when I first met her, she was 8 weeks. And I was probably regularly in her life from when she was about 1.5, 2.
How does that feel being like a mum? Like to not necessarily your biological child, but to somebody else's child. Because I've been there and I've done that. And man, do you ever get worried? Like if you and Renee were, oh God, I'm touching wood. Like if you guys were to split up, how that would go?
Yeah. Yeah. Completely. Because it's not just Renee.
Yeah.
It's baby as well. Mm. And you know, like you are her other parent. Like I'm her mum. I'm her other mum. And you've built this massive relationship. Yeah. Yeah, she's my baby.
How's she with that, like with her having two mums? Probably doesn't even faze her because she's always had them, right?
Yeah, I don't think she realizes that she, it's only towards the later years now, seven years, that she started to realize that she's got two mums, because before it was just mum and Portia, and I don't know where dad is at the moment. So it's just like, now it's, oh yeah, I got two mums. And we love showing her kids who have two mums as well.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, oh, they're like me.
Yeah, they've got
two mums like me. Because I think it's just the normal that it's mum and Portia, but doesn't realise that it's two mums until quite recently.
Well, yeah, because she'd probably go to school and they'd be like, oh, my mum and dad and like her friends and stuff. But you haven't got Kelly now. You know, she's got her little baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love showing her. And I was like, look, Baba, Oakley's got two mamas like you. And she's like, you can just see her face. She's just, because it's not what she sees all the time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when she first went to school, her friends started calling me her stepmom.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well, I'm not really your stepmom, because it's not like, you know, there's one of each, mum and dad and stepmom and stepdad or whatever. It's, I'm your mum. I'm your second mum.
That's where you got to think about the roles and stuff, like what you call each other. Like, does she call you both mum?
I'm Portia.
Oh, you're Portia, so she don't call you mum. Because you've got different, like, some people go, oh, that's, like, I've had some friends that, you know, there's two of them, one's mama, one's mum. Like, you know, just to not get too confused. And then you got to think about all those roles, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. And it's, I try, sometimes I catch myself kind of thinking, oh, you know, if she had a dad, what would he be like for her? But I'm like, I'm not that. I'm not a dad, so I'm just going to be the parent, a second parent to her.
Yeah.
And between Renee and I, we kind of, you know, if someone's growled her, the other one will go in and help her, and then we'll swap so that she's not always being growled on, or she's not being, you know. But it's hard. It's a work in progress. I've signed up to a couple of, you know, parenting seminars, webinars kind of things, just to kind of see different ways of doing it, because you can only go by what you've had, right? I've never experienced any of the parents except for my own parents. So I just kind of go by what they do. And, you know, it's some situations I'm just like, we would have got a hiding, but I don't want to do that. So what's another way of doing it, you know? So it's pretty hard. Being a parent, being a step parent, or, you know, the other parent, is quite hard. You know, at first I had to kind of find where my barriers are, like where do I kind of fit into this little whānau, because I'm not her mum, I'm new to her, but some things I don't agree with. So how do I then help this situation? It was really quite hard. Just kind of figured it out. Definitely talking to Renee has helped heaps. Like, you know, do you feel comfortable with me growling her? You know, what things do you believe in? What things do I believe in? I think, you know, how do we kind of work this together? Because it's quite hard.
I mean, I believe you. Because my last relationship, my partner had three kids. And you, I was like, you know, if they were playing up, she'd be like, just growl them. And I'm like, but I felt uncomfortable because I was just like, well, they're not my kids. So I don't want to be like, you know, telling them off or trying to
teach
them right from wrong. I just didn't, I didn't know where I fit in. So, I mean, I think that's super cool about you taking the parent class and stuff. I didn't even know about that.
It's been new. It's just been while we're in lockdown because we've got all the time. And we've been, you know, it's gone past with her. It's gone past the point of actually making her, you know, surviving her, but now just molding her into a nice human being. One who knows her worth, you know, like all the things that I wish I kind of knew when I was younger, like know my worth, you know, not being focused on your appearance and all this sort of stuff, and just kind of thinking about how to mold her now, not mold her, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like just help her grow into who she wants to be.
Yeah.
Is she interested in rugby?
Nah, probably not.
Nah. She's probably going to be like, nah, I don't want to do it.
So she's such a girly girl in complete contrast to her mum. Mum was all about sports, all about, you know, rugby, league, basketball, feeling comfortable, you know, she had dreads, she's top boy, right? And then Kaya is like this girly girl, loved makeup from when she was 2. Loved dressing up in her auntie's heels. Obsessed with dance, you know, gymnastics, everything she could think of. She's the complete opposite of her mum. Uh-huh. So it's pretty cool because she has both, you know. She's the girly side, mum's the comfortable side.
That's so cool, though. That's so cool. I wanted to touch quickly on your culture because I know that that is so important to you. What does it mean to you? What does culture mean to you? Because what's your heritage and stuff like that? Because I know you're really into it, and especially within the team as well, right?
Yeah. So I'm Māori, mm-hmm. With a sprinkle of Scottish and Irish, I think, and English. My dad's dad is full English. So yeah. So we're Māori with a bit of everything else. And growing up, mum and dad were really staunch on knowing who we come from. Mm-hmm. So for them, you know, knowing that there's them, there's our parents, our grandparents, and so on and so on and so on. So they can really connect all the way back. And to know that and to know who you come from gives you the opportunity to know what attributes you have because of the people you have come from. Mm-hmm. And dad and that have always been staunch that you've been given these gifts, mm-hmm. so use it. And these gifts have come from all the people before you, and they are sitting there watching you to kind of make the most of the gifts that you've got. And that is just like a slight part of how big culture is to us. But I love Aorio. I can kōrero. I can have a conversation. Say I'm not the most fluent person, but I can have a conversation, and I'm extremely grateful because my parents put us into a bilingual unit from primary school, and I was in bilingual units from primary right up to high school, and I'm extremely grateful. Kind of wish I paid a bit more attention to like things like Matariki and Treaty of Waitangi, Tiriti of Waitangi, the Kingitanga, like all those little things I wish I'd paid a little bit more attention to, because at the moment I know a little bit, but not so much that I can pass it on to my partner Renee or Kaya or whoever else that I need to. But being Māori is huge, but also knowing, because my dad's dad, he's full English, and his side, he's the youngest of, 13, I think, youngest of his family, but he was born in 1900s, he was born really, he was really old, so he's got this whole other whānau that we kind of know about, but don't really know about. So not just our Māori side we need to know, for us, it's knowing every part of who we are. And that's huge.
Especially if he's coming from that really big family, you know? Who knows where they could be?
Yeah, completely. And he passed away when he was 50, 60. So we have a few whānau members left of his whānau that we can kind of tap in. And we do. We stay in contact quite a lot because they are the only ones that we have left that we know of at the moment, kind of thing, yeah.
Are you the one in the team for the Black Ferns that usually leads the haka and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I guess myself, I kind of lead it, which is weird because I wasn't really a kapaka person growing up at school. I was the sporty one. I can kōrero, I can do kapaka, but I didn't really do it. But yeah, so in our team, I'm one of the leaders of the cultural side. And my biggest part is about the haka and waiata and our karakia our prayers that we do in our meetings and stuff. And my 2IC the one I've taken under my wing is Stacey, but she's probably more qualified than me. But so between the two of us, we'll take turns in leading the haka. She can sing, so she leads all our waiata and stuff. But yeah, so I've in the past I have led the haka, and now since I've been injured, Stacey's been leading the haka as well as I don't think, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool that you can pass it down and stuff, though.
I think it's important, for our environment to kind of, we're not going to be there forever. And I think for them to kind of see what we have been doing and them to kind of put their own twist on how it all goes. And Stacey's so cool. She knows her kapaka. She's competed and stuff. So she actually knows what she's talking about. And I love that she can change it to what she loves because it's ours. And the girls who wrote the haka for us, they've given us full rein, you know, take control. This is your haka. You do what you want, as long as you give mana to it, you know, as you do it with mana. So Stacey does it, and I love it. I love what she comes up, I love what she comes up with and what she does with the haka and with the girls. And, you know, she does some really cool drills with the girls through haka practice. So I think Stacey's really awesome for our team, for our environment.
Yeah, they all love a good karaoke sing-along, don't they?
Oh, completely.
I feel like you guys can all sing in your own way.
Oh, yeah. Maybe if I've had a few drinks, I can sing a bit better.
No, I bet you'll be missing getting back into that as well. And even like being in the haka, and just doing that and performing that adrenaline that goes through your blood must be crazy.
Oh, without a doubt. Because it's like you're with your girls. You've just won this tournament. We have this opportunity to kind of just show the world a piece of our culture and to do it with pride, you know? Oh. And the girls have come so far from when we first started back in the day. You know, they're actually really, really good. You know, they can pukana, they look scary, they look staunch, and they can do it really well. So, I can't wait for that day. Just get up there and do a haka with them.
Not long, fingers crossed. What else did I want to touch on really quickly before I let you go, before our internet's about to bloody shut us all down? We touched on, what are all the titles that you're on at the moment? 2015 World Rugby Sevens Player of the Year, you got the gold at Commonwealth. What was the title that Ruby was saying that you hold?
Oh, I didn't know.
You're the only person in the world to hold two titles. The World Sevens Player of the Year and
the World Rugby Women's Rugby Player of the Year.
You're the only person to
But it's the 15s and the 7s aside.
Woohoo! Where's all your trophies? I thought I would have seen them in the background. You know, they're hidden in the room. Away. They're what?
They're either hidden away or they're at Mum and Dad's.
Oh, at Mum and Dad's. You don't have a wee little trophy cabinet.
Well, yeah, no.
Not until you get your medal next year at the Olympics, so.
Yeah, pretty much. That one is going to be hanging up on the front door.
Oh, yeah. No, don't do that. I might get stolen.
Yeah, maybe just that part behind the front door. Yeah.
I wanted to touch on that butter thing real quickly. What you commented on my Instagram. You know, when I put the super wines, right? Yeah, we're getting into food chat. The super wines with the butter on it. And I heard a little birdie told me that you are a butter devourer. Like, you have butter on every single thing that you eat. Is this true?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah, super wines with butter. I couldn't believe you said that Ruby had never tried that before.
I was like, sorry, I don't think we can be friends.
Yeah, legit.
What did you eat in your childhood? Damn. Because I was making the super wine. I was putting the butter on. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, you don't even know. And then she tried it and she was like, oh my God, this is delicious. And I was like, thank you. You're welcome. You are welcome.
Yes.
What else do you have butter on?
So porridge, I have to have porridge, butter, brown sugar, cream. If I don't have cream, I'll have, and then for another thing, it's Weet-Bix. If I don't have cream, I'll have Weet-Bix, sugar, and butter with hot milk. Butter goes on everything though, right? Butter goes with roasted potatoes, and it has to be like a good amount.
I don't know about the Weet-Bix. I've never had the butter on the Weet-Bix. But I mean, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no to it. What do you eat in a typical day?
So for breakfast, I'll have 3 Weet-Bix, hot milk, sugar, cream, if no cream, butter, as well as 2 poached eggs. Oh yeah, 2 to 4 poached eggs, depending on how hungry I am, with avocado on 2 pieces of toast, and maybe spaghetti or baked beans on top of that. Throughout the day, I'll have either a sandwich, just leftover dinner. I'm not that crazy, like, strict. Yeah. I just love food. I just love a good kai. And then dinner, you know, oh my gosh, this last 4 weeks in lockdown have been amazing.
What for your
We cooking? Had an oven hangi, we had home KFC, we've had home pizzas, burgers. Mum and Dad have made pork chow mein. Like, we've had some crazy feeds, and that's probably been the biggest highlight of this lockdown, is just learning to cook from, because they've just, you know, she's got all her old recipes, and she just knows how it's supposed to go. And so I've just been loving it, you know, learning from her. It's been the best.
Learning to cook, eh? Oh, we'll have to come over for dinner sometime. What would you make? Yep. What's your specialty?
I love a good mince patties, like the burgers, homemade burgers, spaghetti bolognese. You can tell I love mince. And we could do an oven hangi, definitely.
Ooh, yeah. I haven't had a good hangi in so long. I don't even remember the last time I actually had a good one. I think it might have been from, have you been to the hangi shop in Otahu in Auckland? Have you been?
No.
There? They make,
is it good?
Sure, I'm pretty sure it's called the hangi shop. I can't remember. Something like that, but it's in Otahu. It's so good. Oh. If you come up to Auckland next time, you have to go check it out and, you know, keep it local, support the local and try that. It's mean.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you a Dear Diary question real quick, and then I'll let you shoot. So this is just a question that's come through from one of the listeners, and actually this is quite fitting for you because of your relationship and your career. Dear Diary, do you believe in mixing business with pleasure?
Yeah, that's a really, really cool question, obviously. We started off as business, just there for rugby, and then became an item. I think at start it was really exciting because no one else knew, and it was kind of cool to kind of keep it on the D-lo, you know, a little smack on the bum every now and then, or a little cheeky squeeze. and then now it's kind of got to the point where when we're in the same team, we kind of don't really mix with our friends. So it's a little bit different. So we're lucky, our jobs are the same, but we play for different teams. Yeah. So I think ideally, if you had the choice, probably don't mix pleasure and business, because it kind of gets a little bit different. You know, you kind of don't usually hang out with your friends or your usual people that you would hang out if they weren't there, which isn't a good thing, which isn't a bad thing, but you kind of miss that connection as well. But yeah, I think we were lucky that at the start it was really exciting. And then towards the end, we kind of just learnt that you can have your friend time, and then your own time together is a separate kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you talk shop at home at all?
Yeah, I think depending on how each other are feeling. You know, it's really cool because she's now in the leadership in the Black Ferns team, and I've been a leader for a few years now. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, I've been a leader for a few years now, and it's cool to kind of help her. Just talk to her about what we do with things in our team, and then she can kind of take it away, implement it if she wants, but just kind of put it to her girls. That's probably the biggest thing we talk about, is just about leadership and how both teams kind of tick, and she kind of asks us how we do things on here, and you know, vice versa. But to be honest, we don't really talk that much rugby. Kind of when we're home, we just want to do home stuff and leave work at work.
What about when you guys like train and stuff? Do you get like competitive? Like if she like whacks you, or you like whack her, you're just like, oh, okay.
Really? Not really. We hate losing. She's the stepper. She is she's got the meanest whack. I don't know how she does it. And she says she just always watched the boys, and she just wanted to do what the boys did. And she's better than them boys. So it's been cool to watch, and I try and learn from her, but I'm just poos at that. I just like to either run over people or just run away. It's like, don't even be me. And yeah, so if we are at the same time, we're trying to train against each other, she'll just try and whack me so that I can't touch her. And yeah, it pisses me off. We've played against each other once.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that was for a Black Ferns trial. And I got the ball, and I swear she had like fallen over way before I even got the ball, and blames me that I bumped her off, but I didn't. She fell over and she was already laughing before I even got the ball. The coaches did it on purpose, I swear.
Yeah, that would be so, like, you just have to like, I love you, but I'm just going to bowl you over real quick to the try line.
Yeah, and then she got the ball, and I was like, come on, don't make me have to, don't make me, yes, please, I don't want to tackle her.
Okay, well, cool. Thank you so much. I think that a lot of people would have learned a lot about you, and I did as well. I guess I just want to say, is there any advice you have for, multiple things for you, up and coming sportswomen or even men, or people just trying to come to terms with like their sexuality? Do you have any advice for either of those? I know I just threw all those questions in one, but.
I guess in terms for the sports person, you know, the biggest thing that I've found within our team or within our girls is that they're people that have a dream and are determined to go for it. Mm-hmm. And I think people think that you have you can't be selfish, but you have to be if you're going to be an athlete, because you have this dream, and this dream means so much to you that you're going to do absolutely everything you can for it. And I'm a big believer that if you do it, you wholeheartedly believe in yourself doing it, it's going to happen. So, you know, find out what your dream is and explore that. It's going to change. It's going to mold into something else. It's going to take you on a different path, but follow it, explore it all, explore everything. Because once you get to that destination, you find out what you really want, do everything you possibly can to make it happen. And then in terms of sexuality, I think make sure you've got supportive people around you. Find out who's going to back you up no matter what. I was lucky enough to have really cool mates that kind of were like, you're a shit, but that's cool. you know, so they had my back no matter what. And don't back down. You know within yourself who you are and what you are about and what you love. So don't back down. Don't back down to anyone else. Be who you want to be and find those people that love you and support you no matter what, because I know that definitely helped me.
Well, you know, if you're trying to look for a different career change after rugby, you should do like motivational speaking or something, because like you got me there and I was like, my heart was like, yes.
Well, if I can talk and I'm in the comfort of my own room, yep, I'm happy.
Yeah. Boy, that's like the beauty of Zoom, eh, during lockdown. It just makes you feel like so much more comfortable than if you were like sitting across from someone really intentionally. Yeah. You're like, I'm in my room just chatting. But yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I know that you're an inspiration to so many people that are listening. So keep doing you. Good luck with everything. And we'll see you when rugby comes back, yeah?
Yeah. Hard out. Thanks for having me. I loved it. It's really cool. Can't wait to see the end result.
No worries. Thanks, P. Love and light.